Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Senate on Monday passed a five-year half-trillion-dollar farm bill that expands government subsidies for crop insurance, rice, and peanuts while making small cuts for food stamps. The bill passed on a bipartisan 66-27 vote. The legislation also would eliminate subsidies that are paid to farmers, whether they farm or not. House Speaker John Boehner said yesterday that his chamber will take up its version of the farm bill this month. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NASS released its latest crop progress report for the week ending June 9th. The numbers look like this. 95% of the corn crop is planted versus 91% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 98%. 85% of the corn crop has emerged versus 74% last week, and the five-year average of 92%. Corn crop conditions, 63% good to excellent, that's unchanged from last week, 29% fair, 6% poor, and 2% very poor. 71% of the soybean crop is planted versus 57% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 84%. 48% of the soybean crop has emerged versus 31% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 67%. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Weather conditions across the Midwest will continue mostly very good for crops that are already in the ground and those that are emerged and beginning to develop more aggressively. But for planting, it's still not the best environment. The forecast here over the coming week, it does suggest that in the western Corn Belt and maybe parts of Illinois as well, we'll see a few days of dry weather. Now, Illinois gets involved with rain tomorrow. That will be rather significant, and so will parts of eastern Iowa. And there'll be some other showers around that do not want to leave the impression that we're going to be dry through the next few days. But some of the western Corn Belt in Missouri and Kansas, parts of Iowa, even Minnesota and some areas nearby will likely be able to go through a large part of the rest of this work week without a lot of meaningful rain. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be some scattered showers of light intensity that will disrupt field work, but there's probably at least 3/4 of the western Corn Belt that will likely escape significant rainfall, and field progress will be allowed to advance. Now, the stronger storms that are expected to evolve will occur overnight tonight in the easternmost portions of Iowa and will really flare up through the day tomorrow as the disturbance works its way across Illinois, southern Wisconsin, and eastward into southern Michigan and portions of Ohio. And some of those areas will likely see some locally strong to intense thunderstorm activity, a lot of which will occur rather late in the day tomorrow and tomorrow night, and probably linger a bit during the day on Thursday. The precipitation will be fairly quick, but it will be potent in those areas that see it, and so we do expect to see some half to 1.5 inch rain totals, maybe some local amounts getting over 2 inches in a few areas. Again, in the corridor from southern Wisconsin and extreme eastern Iowa eastward into northern Ohio and southern Michigan is the targeted area, at least for right now. Now, outside of that event, there's no other rain system in the western or eastern Corn Belt that is going to be nearly as significant of a rain producer as that, at least not through the period from now into Friday. In the western Corn Belt, we will see a cold front moving through the region late Friday night and continuing during the weekend, and showers and thunderstorms will become more numerous at that point in time in those areas. And the frontal boundary will work its way through the eastern Midwest as we go into the second half of the weekend and on into the earliest part of next week. Rainfall with this frontal boundary will again be highly varied, with some 1 inch plus amounts expected in several counties, but a lot of the precipitation will be lighter than that, running a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to a half, maybe local three-quarter inch amount. The bottom line to all of this is that those areas that still have soybeans and late corn that needs to be planted will likely struggle to get it all in, especially in those areas that are going to see the highest return frequency of shower and thunderstorm activity. But there will be enough areas that see limited rain and temperatures in the upper 70s through the 80s that we will see progress made. And those are the temperature expectations for this week. Lower and middle 80s will likely occur often in the central and southern parts of the Midwest, while the north will see those temperatures a little bit cooler, running mostly in the 70s and lower 80s throughout the coming week. We'll expect low temperatures at night to be in the 50s and 60s in the north, and mostly 60s in the south, with a few lower 70s expected at times in the southernmost parts of the Midwest. The longer-range outlook continues to promote a regular occurrence of showers and thunderstorms and are mixing with seasonable temperatures through a big part of the balance of this month, supporting and suggesting a very good, aggressive crop development period. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. In Kansas City, July wheat, 728 up 2. July wheat in Chicago, 694 and a half up 4 and 3 quarters. July corn, 651 and a quarter, up 1 1/4. December, 547 and a quarter, up 1 1/4, now up 1 at 47 even. July soybeans, 1520 and a half, up 8 3/4. November, 1318 and 3/4, down a quarter. July soybean meal, 453.60, up 5.30. July soybean oils, 48.24, up 17 cents. June live cattle, 119.25, up a nickel. August feeders, 143.67 and a half, up 25. And June lean hogs are $100.50, and they are up $1.30, now up $1.32 and a half. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Something of a turnaround Tuesday, although I don't know a whole lot changed from yesterday to today.
Well, the planting progress came in as expected, and the good to excellent rating on corn was unchanged. On wheat, it was down one tick, and we've been both sides today. After the Goldman rolls over this week, they'll go back to old crop, might be a gain on new crop. But today, we've had a little of that now and then. Right now, the old beans are up 6 to 8, and the new beans are down 1 to 2. And corn, they're both up about the same, but they've both, you know, been down 3 to 4 to up 3 to 4. So
we call this a quiet day.
Quiet day ahead of USDA's report tomorrow, and then the big report at the end of the month on the 28th. Don't know what they will do tomorrow as far as changing many numbers. I think if they're going to change some, they would do it in the one at the end of the month or the one in July.
Well, we're beginning to get a better handle on how many acres of corn may not be planted. If you extrapolate off yesterday afternoon's report, you come up with a number of 4.8 million acres still to be planted, more than 21 million acres of soybeans, and it is June the 11th. So at what point do traders begin to add more weather premium or premium back into the marketplace?
Well, they might, but we've also had 3 or 4 days without rain, and if there's not much rain tonight and tomorrow, there will be a lot of planting done the rest of this week. In fact, in places, a half inch to inch of rain would be welcomed where they haven't had rain, where they've got everything in and are trying to get it to grow. The other thing happening now is it's warming up. We're going to be 85 to 90, and you put some heat out there for a couple of days, what looked like yellow and small will jump and turn green.
Mm-hmm. The other question that I suppose we're kind of keeping a close eye on is a technical one. It's in the December corn chart where there was a gap left over from Memorial Day. We've tried to fill that gap now 1, 2, 3, 4 times, including today getting down there close to where that gap is again. Does that gap hold into the end of the week?
I think it's going to hold in through the report for sure. I think it'll be taken out by the end of June, but that was at 37 to 41 gap, somewhere in those numbers. Last week we got to 39.5 on one day, 2 days after we'd been at 73.5. So it's still a volatile thing happening. I think we're going to have trouble getting through the 70, 75 area at the top. And if we get through that 37 at the bottom, we could go right back to that 512 number that we hit, you know, 10 days before we hit 573.
So your inclination then more risk to the downside than the positive to the up?
I would be protecting the risk to the downside, correct, thinking that, you know, if we have really good weather, we can still grow $1.8 billion. I mean, we can still have $1.8 billion carryout, which would be not good for corn prices.
Thank you, Pete.
Have a great one.
You too. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. July wheat in Kansas City is 728.75, up 2.75. July wheat in Chicago, 694.5, up 4.75. July corn, 650.5, up 0.5. December, 546.25, up 0.25. July soybeans, 1517.75, now 0.5, up 5.75. November at 1315, down 4. July soybean meal, 452.10, up 3.80. July soybean oil at 48.19, up 12 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.